when you think about what God does. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we said when you finally understand, when they finally understood what God wanted, they then became confused. It says they weren't confused when the Spirit fell and the tongues of fire. Nobody, it doesn't say they were confused. They weren't confused until they understood what it, in their own language, what everybody was saying. And we thought that is kind of like the church. Are you sure? You know, held up a sheet for the talent show. Are you sure you want me to sing? Are you sure you want me to dance? Are you sure you want me to go? When we understand what God wants, everything changes. That's why it says it was a violent wind. Everything changes when we really understand. See, you think about John Paul and going to Tanzania. I can remember him over and over and over again. Whenever he would see Anthony, he'd say, you know, they speak English in Tanzania. Because that's what he was told. Yeah. And what he should have been told was, if you're lucky enough to go to school, they teach English. They don't speak it, but they teach it. So there are some that do. So, but once he understood, his message last week was, God can use anyone, and he wants to use each and every one of us. That's what we need to understand. And maybe that's why we're confused. Because the fact that he's using Pastor James, John Paul, Glenna, Aaron at Youth for Tomorrow, we can see that. We can, that's fine. But when push comes to shove and says, there is nothing that I can't do in Christ Jesus, then it comes home. Last week, you know, we had a bit of a problem at the end of the service. And so, on the way to Mountain View, see, 2 hours is good sometimes because it gives you time to spring surprises on people once you get to Mountain View. And so they knew John Paul was coming, and so they had a plan. And as we walked in, we took the DVD or the whatever the power capsule, whatever it is. Yeah. And we said, Sam, we'd like to see this at the end. And he looked at it and he said, this isn't for my computer. I have an Apple. This is not from an Apple. He said, if I had time, we could do it. I said, well, you know what, Sam? I'm sorry, you know, we sprung this on you. I know you didn't know. You really don't have. He said, I didn't say we couldn't do it. He said, I wish I had time. And he said, and he put it in his computer, whatever he did. Polly was back there, and they were talking in tongues. Yeah, about bitmappies and all that stuff. Yeah. And will it work and timing and all this. And he said, well, we can do one. I know we can do the first one of all the pictures of the guys. He said, but this next one's on two different files, he said. I said, well, look, that's fine. At the end, I'll just say, well, do. We want to Memorial Day remember. And as I said that, he said, no, we can do both. There is nothing, people. When they were laying on hands up in the sound booth up there, remember we came down and we said, can't, should not be in any Christian's vocabulary. Can't. We just can't work this out. Well, it's fine if you don't want to believe in Jesus. We can't do this anymore. You know, when John Paul said, you know, he said, we can't do more than 5 days. I said, you can't. He said, well, I'm sure if God wanted us to, we would. Can't. We can't walk on water. We can't raise the dead. Aaron can't chase one of the youth if he tries to escape from Youth for Tomorrow. That's where it gets scary, when we understand that we've had a can't-adectomy and had that removed. Once you become a Christian, what scared the church and made them not want to be believers, but confused, it was another Tower of Babel. What do you mean, go into all the world? Remember, Jesus never traveled more than 50 miles. And now he expects us to do more than he did? Well, that's what he said, greater things than I've done, you will do. And so they get confused, and then all of a sudden, Peter says, you're confused, let me straighten this out for you. And Peter begins to give his sermon. There's no confusion about this. There's only confusion within the church, because the church, if they can keep you confused, they can keep you controlled. Understand that. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. That's what the government does. They keep you confused about everything. How many of you know how to do taxes? None of us. We just do what we know. But I'll guarantee you, you're going to miss something. Nobody knows. Have you ever seen the tax law? If you knew all that's in tax law, it would be a stack at least this high of all the tax. You can't know it all about that. Allison Spence sell insurance. I'll guarantee you they don't know every single policy that insurance companies sell. It's impossible. There's way too many of them. You can't know it all. But if you do, so you don't go into the areas you're not confused about. What they do, they try to keep you confused, and as long as you're confused, you're dependent. What God does, he takes the confounding and makes it simple so that it can be understood. So let's go in prayer, and then we're going to head into Peter's sermon. Father, we just want to praise your name that you have called us here this day. Father, not to be confused, not to be conflicted, Father, but to be confronted by the Apostle Peter himself. Simple message, Father. Have our can'ts removed from our lives, and you glorified through it all. Father, that can't happen with human words and human wisdom. It didn't happen then. It was your words through Peter. So we pray for the same thing. Annihilate the servant. Resurrect yourself, your son, and your spirit, so that your son might be lifted up, enabling your spirit to be poured out, causing you to be glorified. Accomplish it, we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says, Peter stood up with the 11 raised his voice and proclaimed to them, Jewish men and all of you residents of Jerusalem. So all 11 stood up. Evidently not everyone else did. He said, let it be known to you and pay attention to my words. Okay. If it were Jesus, he would have said, verily, verily. Listen up, he's saying. Pay attention. If you miss anything else, Peter's saying, don't miss this. He said, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 a.m. On the contrary. So he doesn't say none of these people ever drink. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on a prophet and they will direct you. That's the confused standard version. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. In the past, you constantly had to have a prophet to come and tell you what to do. He says, this is how you will know the Old Testament has been accomplished. You have a direct line to the Father. You don't have to go through anybody. The Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. People say, how do I know? You don't want to know. Because if you know, you're accountable. That, as Christians, I'm saying, we say, you know, if I don't know, I'm not responsible for it. The quintessential place for that would be New York City. People will commit a crime and others who are watching it will turn so they don't have to report it. And it doesn't matter what the crime is. There wasn't too many years ago where a young sailor was stabbed to death because he was the only one, as a woman was being raped in the subway, that jumped in to help. The others just turned their backs because if you don't see it, you're not accountable. See, if the church tells you, you don't need to come to me to find out what God wants for your life, then why do you come here? You don't need the church. The reason you come here isn't to find out what to do. It's to encourage one another through testimonies. Man, God did this for me this week. God did that for me. It's not to tell you how to live. God will tell you how to live. How will he do that? Well, you might take a drink and get sick for a week. You may go somewhere that you shouldn't go, and somebody you don't want to see you there just has their vehicle break down in the area and has to walk in, and they see you there. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Not a son and a daughter will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Not a son, not a daughter. This is new light for these people. Daughters weren't supposed to prophesy. Sons, yes. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. He says, I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves, just in case you were confused about all humanity. And they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and remarkable day of the Lord comes. Then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not about whether you're in the right church. It's not about whether you're eating the right food or wearing the right clothes. It's about, are you serving the right God? A God who's willing to have you come to Him at any time, and He will speak to you, and you, like Samuel, will say, "Here am I, send me." So then he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man pointed out to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him. Just as you yourselves know, there isn't a one of you that hasn't seen God work. Not a one of you. Now somehow, see, and I'm thinking that I can't hear everything. I believe it was Megan who was hit by a tractor trailer. Was that it? Megan's car? I remember telling my niece Ivy one time, tractor trailer hit her, a brand new Chevette. She had had it about 3 months, and she asked me about something, and I said, "You shouldn't do it," and she went ahead and did it, and a tractor trailer hit her. And she said, "Why would God let that happen?" I said, "Because if God can't get your attention with a tap on the shoulder, He's going to use a right hook. But He will get your attention. Make no mistake about it. He will get your attention. You can go right to Him, but you might not like what He has to say. So then we'll call our circle of friends and ask what they think. Who cares what they think? What does God think?" That's why on the way to the airport that night, we didn't discuss with Jennifer, "Do you think we should put John on the plane?" That's why God put Jennifer in the car so I couldn't even discuss it with Kay. Because we knew. We knew. He says, "You know yourselves. We've seen miracles. Ian knows he's going to be healed." How? Because he was already healed once this week. How do you know? Because we've seen it. That's what the car dealer who stopped out front said. She said, "How did you know?" I said, "Because I know my God." And just then, a car pulled in the driveway, and she said, "You know somebody from Quebec?" I said, "You've got to meet John Paul." And she stood out in our yard for an hour, talking to John Paul and Glenna, just going, "Wow, the wow factor." You know, "You two didn't go over married?" "No." "No." "Well, how did that?" Glenna said, "God did it. Neither of us were looking for anybody. Neither of us thought we would get married again, so might as well go back to Africa and just serve God." And look at what God's doing, people. And John Paul went to a financial counselor, and he talked to Dr. Duane and then about all the bills he had. He said they had a big celebration last spring, Polly, when he got that email saying all his bills had been paid. He said, "Glenn and I looked at each other and went, this can't be possible. If I was working back in the States, making a lot more than he makes here," he said, "I would still be paying on those bills. How does that happen?" Because God says, "You've seen wonders. You've seen signs. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says, I saw the Lord ever before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. People, think about who's saying this. Peter. I will not be shaken. I never knew the man. The others may deny you, but not me. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad. The reason he had to quote David is because he couldn't say it for himself. He had been shaken. Therefore, my heart will be glad and my tongue will rejoice. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope because you will not leave my soul in hell or allow your Holy One to see decay. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You will fill me with gladness in your presence. People, when you see a Christian, do you see gladness? Amen. How come I didn't hear any amens? There's, you know, out of the mouths of babes. You want to know, what do Christians look like? Coming to church this morning, the doctor Sarah works for his house is right next to that little Baptist church. There's some cows out in the field. Stop and look at their face. What does he say? You will fill me with gladness in your presence. Oh, man. How you doing? Good! Don't go by what you're feeling all the time. Go by what he's told you. I may be hurting, but I am filled with gladness. You think what you're seeing is me. That isn't me. What is me is the person who came down from the cross, rose from the grave, and is alive forevermore. Nothing can stop him, except maybe a computer program that won't work. Nothing can stop him. Can't is not in your vocabulary, according to Peter. You're filled with gladness. But you don't know what it's like being me. They say if we could trade problems, you'd want to be you. I mean, I'm having fun being me. May not be that much fun for y'all, but it's fun being me. I wouldn't want to be any of you. Because I'm having too much fun enjoying me and God. What was that song, Me and God, y'all danced to at the birthday party talent show? Me and God. Yeah. We're having fun together. If you're not, it's not his fault. Because he says, you will fill me with gladness in your presence. Either you're not in his presence, or there's something wrong with you. Because if you're there, how many of you were happy to see John Paul? If you weren't, it's not his fault. I wish I could be happier when he was speaking. If you're not glad, people, get this. I learned something from Jim Wilkerson. Not Big Jim, Little Jim. Happiness is a choice. You can choose to be filled with gladness, or joy is a choice, I should say. It says, brothers, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, that's not a study on the state of the dead. It's a point Peter is about to make. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing this in advance, he spoke concerning the resurrection of Jesus. David is dead, buried. Ecclesiastes says David doesn't know what's going on because he says your son goes to perdition and he knows it not. He is elevated and you know he doesn't know. The reason you're filled with gladness isn't because of the situation that's surrounding you. It's because of the future you know you're promised. John and Glenna say, what gets us through sometimes is knowing that when we get home, we can possibly take a hot shower. Not can, because they don't know if they're going to have hot water when they get home. But possibly get, what has God promised you? What has he promised you? That's what keeps you going. It says, seeing this, he was not left in there. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, David was promised one of his descendants would be seated at the right hand of the Father. And that gave him joy, knowing that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make you your enemies your footstool. That's talking about Jesus, people. David was promised it. It was fulfilled in Jesus. Do you know what the Lord has promised you? Maybe that's something you need to look at. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. People, it says when they heard this, they were pierced. Now, if you want to tell someone from now on, it can't be done. You tell them. Don't tell me. Because I know better. See? Izzy and Tyler and Matt and Christy, they'll have visions. But see, Eli, we get to have dreams. Yeah. And my dream is that nothing will be impossible for Izzy and Tyler and Matt and Christy and Dylan and Jesse and Alan. How do I know? Because I know a young man that was told you better teach him how to drive a truck. And what is he? He's a leader of youth. Yeah. He's a leader of youth. And he takes these young people and says, nobody else may believe in you, but I believe in you. And there's a God in heaven who, when they tell me to learn how to drive a truck, gets me through one of the most prestigious colleges in all the country. People marry Washington College. People come from foreign countries to go to where Aaron Monroe graduated from. Can't is not in our vocabulary. Not because we're that good, but because of the God we serve. Sam Hunt immediately said, it won't work on my computer. It's not made to work on my computer, but give me a few minutes. It doesn't matter what the designer designed it to be. What matters is what God intends it to be. And a young man who had served two tours in Iraq and is getting ready in about a year or so, he'll be going back over there. He said, everything was wonderful today. He said, but if you had nothing but the pictures of those young men, he said, it would have been worth coming here today. He said, that was worth it. He said, everything else was like going to a buffet, more than enough. He said, and then when I saw the numbers on those cemeteries, I had no idea. The person that sent us the email said, I had no idea it was that many people. And they sent us the email with all those numbers. And then we forwarded it to Polly, never thinking we'll see it again. They said, I didn't know it was that many. It can't be done. But give me a minute. Give me a minute. What is it that you're putting your limits on? Is it a terminal illness? I don't know. Maybe if we pray, you'll still be living next year. Yeah. Is it just something annoying like an allergy? Maybe if you have the elders pray for you. Is it a leg? Is it finances? What is it that you can't fix? Then why not take your hands off it and give somebody else a chance? And even some things I can fix. When they put the new transmission in the little truck that Jesse got, and I, for the life of me, can't figure out how they did it, but they broke the oxygen sensor. So I went and bought a new oxygen sensor and crawled under the truck and got a wrench. I said, this is ridiculous. Why should I do this? It's drivable. I can fix it. Why should I take 2 to 3 hours when I can drive it over to Stan the man and in 10 minutes it's done? He has the right tools for any job I bring him, and if not, he sends it where it can be fixed. And I don't have to waste all my time burning my hands on exhaust, oil dripping in my face, breaking it as I put the new one in. Just take my hands off and let somebody who actually knows what they're doing fix it. Said Mr. Mack last week, I said, do you know anybody over at Safford? He said, why? I said, we can't figure out why the check engine light comes on the white truck. He says, I can tell you why it's coming on. He said, Les can fix it for you. I said, okay. I said, you already know? He said, yeah. He said, it needs to be disconnected. He said, that's what I do. He said, mine has 30,000 miles on it, 37,000. He said, my check engine light is on, so Les fixed it for me. He said, there's nothing wrong. He said, I found out working for the dealership that they program them to come on, and they will keep coming on. He said, just have Les fix it, or if it doesn't annoy you, I think Stan told Eli, put black tape over it. He said, there's nothing wrong with your vehicle. Nothing. But you don't trust me, so you'll probably take it to a dealer to have it checked out. We're believing sometimes, see, you need to see the warning signs, but when somebody says, that's okay, it's taken care of, it's the way I designed it. Give it up, people. Just give it up. Whether it's a program, you should have seen Polly last week. It was her baby. The PowerPoints were her baby. and her baby was in trouble. Should have seen her. She had to crawl up the steps. Can't? I'll crawl to my baby if I have to. But my baby's going to survive. If she'll do that for a PowerPoint, what will God do for you? I don't know. But I kind of think he'll go all the way. And then some. Let's bow our heads. Father, Peter says there needs to be gladness within us because we serve a God who was dead and is alive and will be alive forevermore and promised us the same thing. Peter says that we have a direct line, that your Spirit was poured out on every single one of us. We don't have to take a detour through others' thoughts, others' opinions. Father, give us hearts that are fertile soil for your seeds, as you want to sow into us hope and joy and peace and gladness. Oh, Father, when we look at what you were willing to do, why do we keep our hands on it? And why do we judge everything by our limitations? Bring us to the place where we will look at everything and judge everything by your limitations. Father, anoint us to the place where we know if we can just let you put your hands on it, nothing is impossible. Can't will be removed from our vocabulary. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Accomplish that, Father. Not because we ask it, but because you said it. And as Aaron said in his prayer, we serve a God who is not a liar. Accomplish it. To its fullness we pray. And thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe, and if you allow him to take the can'ts out of your life, it's not written in red, but it's in here. For I know the plans that I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare. And we're not talking about a system, but good things, not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. People, you have to believe that you can remove the can'ts before he's going to listen. Why should I help you if you believe you can't? I will just be your cheerleader and say, amen, I believe you can't too. But his plans are to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, then you will pray to me, and then I will listen to you. Then you will seek me, and then you will find me. When all the can'ts are removed and you search for me with all your heart.